Going to do the talk today, Bilal. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and elders and young friends, Alhamdulillah, it's a great blessing and honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, that firstly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us Muslims and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the religion of Islam. So it's very important that every single day a person expresses gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. And the greatest praise that we can express to Allah, the greatest way that we can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is by saying Alhamdulillah. And this is why this phrase Alhamdulillah is the first phrase with which we start the Holy Quran. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So it's very important that a person on the tongue of a Muslim at all times is Alhamdulillah. If he hears good news, then Alhamdulillah. If he hears bad news, then Alhamdulillah. At all stages and at all moments of our life, we say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah means all praise. In the Arabic language, the Al normally translates to make something specific, the. But here, when we say in Alhamdulillah, the Alif Lam, the Al at the beginning, in Arabic this is known as Al Alif Lam Istighraqi, meaning it denotes all types of praise, something which encompasses everything. So when I say Alhamdu, Hamd means praise in Arabic. When I say Alhamdu, I mean all types of praise belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every category of praise that a person can, that can come from a person's mouth, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What that means is, if I praise something for being good, or if I praise someone for a talent that Allah has given them, if I praise someone for a favor that they have done upon me, all of these good things that we see in the world are happening because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows it to happen, because Allah ta'ala has given that the opportunity to happen. Hence, in reality, all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Because all goodness comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All good emanates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we say Alhamdulillah. And we see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, throughout his daily practice, if we look at the du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, the ad'iyah, the sunnah du'as, we see that at all times he would sing the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'd wake up straight away, Alhamdulillah. He'd wake up at tahajjud time, Alhamdulillah. And in so many beautiful ways, he would praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking in the masjid and he sees another sahabi engaging in dua. And now this particular sahabi was a Bedouin. He was someone from the kind of desert regions, what they call a Bedouin. Someone that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't really see much in the masjid because he used to live a bit far away. But this person was doing dua, and in his dua he was praising Allah ta'ala. And he was praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a beautiful way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though he's Allah's Nabi, even though he's Allah's Messenger, Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knows those words which are the most beloved to Allah. But he found this man's praise of Allah so amazing that he stopped to listen. How is this person praising Allah? Subhanallah. What was the man saying? Ya man la tarahu al-uyun. Oh, the one who the eyes cannot behold. Wala yasifuhu al-wasifun. Oh, the one who the describers cannot describe. Wala tughayyiruhu al-hawadith. The one that the change in conditions cannot affect. We are all affected by change in our conditions. If we are going through a happy time, it will affect us. If we're going through a good time, it will affect us. If someone close to us passes away, it will affect us. So the changing conditions affect us. So he's saying, Ya man la tughayyiruhu al-hawadith. Oh, the one who the changing conditions, doesn't matter how bad situation get, it will never affect Allah. Doesn't matter how good the situation becomes, it will not affect Allah. Wala yakhsha al-dawa'ir. The one who is not scared of the change in time. Human beings are always scared of time changing. I'm going to become old, what's going to happen? You know, people passing away, what's going to happen? If my business doesn't do well, what's going to happen? So with the changing of time, with the advancement of time, we have more fears. What will happen in the future? He says, وَلَا يَخْشَ الدَّوَائِرُ يَعْلَمُ مَثَاقِيلَ الْجِبَالِ. The one who knows how heavy the mountains are. وَمَكَايِيلَ الْبِحَارِ. Who can weigh the oceans so easily. A human being cannot, we can't even comprehend how heavy is a mountain. Who can weigh a mountain? Who can weigh the ocean? Makayil, from the word kailun. You go to the market nowadays, it doesn't happen obviously. In the early days, or even if you go to India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, or any third world country, and you go to the marketplaces, and you want to buy some grain or some flour or something, they still have those old fashioned scales. And they'll put the flour on one side, and they'll put the little heavy kind of weight on one side. So he says, يَعْلَمُ مَكَايِيلَ الْبِحَارِ وَعَدَدَ قَطْرِ الْأَمْطَارِ. Oh, the one who knows every single drop of rain when it falls from the sky. He can count how many raindrops are falling from the sky. وَعَدَدَ وَرَقِ الْأَشْجَارِ. Oh, the one who knows the amount of every single leaf on every single tree. وَعَدَدَ قَطْرِ الْأَمْطَارِ وَلَا تُوَارِي مِنْهُ سَمَاءٌ سَمَاءَ وَلَا أَرْضٌ أَرْضًا. Oh, the one who, anything between the heavens is not hidden. Between one heaven to another heaven, whatever happens, Allah knows all about it. وَلَا أَرْضٌ أَرْضًا. Between one earth to another earth, whatever is happening, Allah knows all about it. So he's praising Allah with these words. وَلَا أَرْضٌ أَرْضًا وَلَا جَبَلٌ مَا فِي بَعْرِهِ وَلَا بَحْرٌ مَا فِي قَعْرِهِ. Oh, the one who knows exactly what is hidden inside of a mountain. Who knows exactly what is hidden at the bottom of the sea. So he praises Allah with such beautiful words. And then he finishes his dua and he looks and he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing there, listening to him in amazement. How can a mind think of such beautiful praises for Allah? Remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inspired by Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala taught him the words that would make Allah Ta'ala happy. He's Allah's beloved. Allah teaches him those things which will bring the pleasure of Allah, bring the happiness of Allah. But for a normal human being to come up with those words, it means a person has been sitting there thinking, reflecting, pondering over the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we're taught in the Quran. الَّذِينَ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. That the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who reflect and they ponder over the creation of the heavens and the earth. And they say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. They just come to the conclusion that, oh Allah, you cannot have created this in vain. There's a purpose to all of this. So this person, he finishes dua, his dua, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes and he gives him a gift of money. So he takes the money, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, do you know why I'm giving you this gift? And he says, Ya Rasulullah, is it because we have some kind of family tie, some kind of family relationship, and on behalf of this, to kind of honor this, you're giving me a gift? And the person says, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, I'm giving you this gift because of the beautiful praises I just heard from your mouth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear respected brothers and elders, a servant at all moments in time should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see this was the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was the way of the noble Sahaba, and this was the way of the pious predecessors who came after him, after them, all of the great ulama. You see, times of difficulty, from their mouth you would not hear anything negative. First of all, they would not complain, because just complaining is a sign that a person is dissatisfied with Allah. They wouldn't even complain about normal hardship that we complain about. I've got a headache, I've got a backache, or this happened, that happened, the other thing happened. Sometimes for a valid reason, a person has to tell someone that I'm going through this situation because they need some kind of maybe assistance from them, but they need to inform them. But for the sake of it, you know, just to sit there saying this is happening and that's happening and how am I going to deal with it, how am I going to deal with that, the pious predecessors would never ever mention a single word from their mouths. I was reading about a great scholar from India, Shaykh Abdul Rahim Raipuri rahmatullahi alayhi, a great scholar, very very pious saint of Allah. This man, he was an embodiment of tawakkul, an embodiment of tawheed. Remember, people talk about tawheed. Tawheed means oneness, to say that Allah is one. And part of tawheed, or from the branches of tawheed, is to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can help me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can assist me. If I want to complain, I will complain to Allah. If I want to ask for help, I will ask help from Allah. The way Ya'qub alayhi salam says, Allah mentions in the Quran, the beautiful lesson that the Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam taught us, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I will only complain. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو. I will only complain to Allah of my difficulties and my hardships. He's saying this to who? To his sons. What do we say to our sons? I'm going through this, I'm going through that, I can't deal with this, I can't deal. He's saying to his sons that I'm not going to complain to you, even though you're my sons. And many times we expect help and assistance from our children, from our sons, because they're so close to us. They're our close kind of family members. He's saying, I won't even complain to you. You don't even need to know what I'm going through, as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what I'm going through. So this is tawheed. This is the true reality of tawheed and tawakkul. To believe that only Allah ta'ala can assist me. To believe that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help me. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, whoever relies solely on Allah, only on Allah, he doesn't rely on anything else. Allah says, فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah is enough for him. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough for him. So my dear respected brothers and elders, the pious predecessors had this. The Sahaba, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taught us this. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum taught us this. Whenever they needed anything, they would ask from Allah ta'ala, what is the purpose of believing that Allah ta'ala is the one who can help me? In salah, when I say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. O Allah, we only you do we worship, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And from only you do we ask for help, seek help. What is the purpose of saying this when we have a time of need, we don't go back to Allah? We don't ask from Allah. We explore all of the avenues, all of the means before turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the reality of tawheed. I was mentioning this incident of Shaykh Abdul Rahim Raipuri rahmatullahi alayhi. This man was an embodiment of tawakkul, embodiment of tawheed. You would never know what he was going through. What pain he was going through, what grief he was going through, what sorrow he was going through. He would never complain. And subhanAllah, I was reading his biography. His son passed away. They were going for Hajj, and on the Hajj journey, his son fell very ill. And this was obviously 100, 150 years ago, when the Hajj journey used to be very difficult, and they were traveling from India, and they had to take the ship, and then they had to go by land on an animal, on a camel. And his son, he was in his early 20s. He was married, just recently got married, and he fell very ill. And now there was no hospitals close by. There was no kind of system to get the person to the hospital. And on top of that, the traveling was so difficult. So everyone who was there said to him, Sheikh, maybe you should postpone your travel. Because if this boy sits on a camel, the camel ride is so bumpy and so difficult, he'll pass away just from that. Because it's not a calm kind of journey, it's a very difficult journey. But he said, we have to keep going. So he put his son on the camel, and eventually, unfortunately, his son did pass away. So where his son passed away, I think his son passed away on the ship journey back to India. And what they did was they just tossed him overboard. They just tossed his son overboard. But the amazing thing in all of this was, you did not hear him saying a single word about his son. When news, he was sitting in a gathering, news reached him of his son passing away. He said to someone, you guys go and just prepare his janazah and arrangements. And then, his shrouding and all of that. And then I will come perform his janazah. Obviously, his body was going to be thrown overboard anyway. But I will come and perform his janazah. He didn't say anything. And you know the father-in-law. So his son was obviously married to a woman whose father was a very close student of the Sheikh as well. So he used to say, I have not heard my ustad, who is also my, the father-in-law of my daughter, saying a single word about his son after he died. He hasn't even mentioned his name. He hasn't even said his name. And the reason why the Shaykh didn't even say his name was because if I start saying his name, what if, by accident, because we're human beings, from my mouth some words come which show that I am not happy, I am not pleased with the qadr, with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. So the father is thinking, what should I do? Because the Shaykh is so close to him, so beloved to him. He doesn't want to say to the Shaykh, Shaykh, do you have no love for your son? You know, you've not even taken his name after he passed away. The Shaykh does not say anything. So he says to someone else, can you please go to Shaykh and at least make him say his son's name from his mouth? At least make him do that. So the person, he goes to the Shaykh and says, Shaykh, you know your son has passed away. He nods his head, he says, yes. He says, Shaykh, will you take me to be your son? He's just waiting for a reaction from the Shaykh. Imagine if someone says that to you, that my son has passed away, someone comes and says, will you take me to be your son? And you know what the Shaykh says? He says, you are 10 times more beloved to me than my son. He says, you are 10 times more beloved to me than my son. And this is student he's speaking to. Because of this relationship, that my ta'alluq, my nisbat, my connection with you as a student is only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My connection with my son was because he is my son. And my connection with you as a student is because of Allah. So the connection between me and you is 10 times more special than the connection between me and my son. So he said, you are 10 times more beloved to me than my son. That's all he said. No tears from his eyes, no emotions. You might think, is he hard-hearted? But no. All of these difficulties, all of these hardships are buried, only complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reality of tawakkul, the reality of tawheed, my dear respected brothers and elders. My topic today was something else. But then when I came, sat down, I saw so few people and I thought, I have to just talk about something separate. So this is very, very important. You know, we live in a time and an age where we're kind of bound by so many things, so many problems. There's one hadith I was reading in Ihya Ulumuddin. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi mentions a hadith, and this hadith itself, the chain of narration is weaker, it's not so strong, but it's something that we can take a lesson from, and I found it so pertinent. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a time will come when the greatest disaster for a person's iman will be his wife, will be his children, will be his parents. And the reason he mentions that, and then he goes on to explain that to the extent that all of these people will lead the person to fall into haram, because he's trying to please every single person. And the wording of the hadith is slipping my mind, but in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that these people will not even consider him. They will not take him into any consideration. So he is so busy trying to please everybody that unfortunately he will fall into haram. So the chain of narration is weak, but I was reading this thinking, subhanallah, you know how clear this is. That many a person is trying to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then they get married, and then all the demands that come. Many a person is trying to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the pressure from the parents. Many times the expectations certain parents have from their children. Many a time a person is trying to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they're having children in this day and age, in this country, in this kind of era. And the demands and the pressures that come from the children, it really, really, really pushes people to the edge. And there are so many people now suffering midlife crisis, all of these kind of problems. They don't mention it. But this is why it's very, very important that we develop a strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's so important. Because if our relationship with Allah ta'ala is weak, shaitan will attack us from all directions. Shaitan, what did shaitan say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ. Oh Allah, he made a promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will definitely misguide them. وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ. I will definitely occupy them in vain kind of hopes and false desires for the future. This will happen in the future. My son will get married. My daughter will get married. My business will get better. This will happen. Always thinking about the future. Future, future, future. A Muslim does not live for the future. A Muslim lives for now. This is the time Allah has given me. I'm not reading my fajr now, I'll read it when I'm a little bit older. I'm not punctual with my 5 times salah in the masjid, I'll do it when I'm a bit older. I'll do it, you know, all the old people are coming to the masjid, I'll be one of them, I'll come. So always thinking about the future, not thinking about this time. Shaitan said, he made a promise to Allah, I will engage them in just thinking about the future. Vain hopes about the future, aspirations about the future. Before they can even get there, death will come and take them away. And then Shaitan said, I will come to them from in front of them, from behind them, from their right side, from their left side. From every direction a person is going to be attacked by Shaitan. So if a person says, I'm okay, you know, I don't need to do much, then he is maghroor, he is deceiving himself. Shaitan is going to attack us. There are going to be difficulties, there are going to be hardships. If a person does not, that's what Allah says in the Quran, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, hold firm to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't let go of this rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise you'll fall into destruction. So my dear respected brothers and sisters, in this time and age, it's so important that a person connects themselves with the masjid, a person connects themselves with scholars, a person connects themselves with pious friends. A person doesn't think, oh, I'm okay on my own. If you're on your own and you think you're okay, then you are easy prey for shaitan to attack. And that's why this masjid and so much virtues about reading salah with jama'at, one of the reasons Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says is because when you have a lone sheep, it's easy for the wolf to attack that lone sheep. But when you have a group of sheep, the wolf, even though it can attack and the sheep will get scared, it will just be wary of attacking a flock of sheep. It will wait for a sheep to wander off on its own. So it's so important we perform our salah in the masjid with jama'at. You will see automatically someone who has a problem with overthinking, waswasa, doubts, thoughts in my mind. If you start reading salah in the masjid with jama'at punctually, you will start to see those doubts disappearing. Because this is something Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, and we have yaqeen upon this. We will see this if we do it. But someone who says, I've even heard people saying, I can't concentrate in the masjid. I can't concentrate. I prefer reading namaz in my room, my door closed. But you are an easy target for shaitan. You're standing in front of shaitan. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even if you stand in the rows and you leave gaps between the rows, shaitan comes and stands in those gaps. Shaitan doesn't spare any opportunity to attack the human being. And you say you're going to read namaz at home by yourself, and shaitan's going to say, oh, my friend is such a good wali of Allah, I can't approach him. He will approach you and he will put you in doubts, he will put you in problems, and he will try his best to mislead you and misguide you. Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability to understand this. Allah ta'ala grant us steadfastness upon our iman and steadfastness upon the qualities of iman till we pass away. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallah bihamdi, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. 45 now.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
Mm-hmm.
Till last Friday, the collection that was raised was £1,256. So, pichle jumle jo collection hui thi wo £1,256. Allah Taala tamam saathiyon ki donations ko qubool farmaye, Allah sab ki nek hajat ko pura farmaye. Aur hamare Haji Fazil Ali sahab ne masjid ke liye £300 diya aur dua ki darkhast bhi ki unki family ke liye bhi, Allah Taala unki tamam nek hajat ko pura farmaye. Or Kamran Bhai is collecting the annual fee for death committee. So Kamran Bhai is collecting the death committee annual fee. Brother Ali Qadar is not here today, so in his place Brother Kamran is here. So whoever needs to pay the annual death committee fee, they can pay to him. He'll be sitting in the back room after namaz inshallah. Or Zohab Afzal Bhai and family have paid £100 to the masjid, and they've asked for duas as well. Allah Ta'ala make all the pious aspirations come true. Allah Ta'ala remove all calamities and difficulties from their life. Ameen. Brothers requested to come forward inshallah and fill in the gaps. We don't want namaz to start and then people shouting from the back. So before that, please can you everyone come forward and fill in the gaps. A few minutes before Jamaat inshallah will start Jamaat straight away at 2 o'clock. But today I just thought I'd mention a few very important points. Alhamdulillah, as being here almost 4 years now and dealing with different people and dealing with different situations, and just generally we've understood that one of the biggest situations, one of the biggest crises that we Muslims are facing is the marriage crisis. And this is not just limited to the fact that people are not getting married. There are so many different discussions there. And we started to talk about it on Saturday when we had that nikah as well. So the first issue that we have is obviously people are not getting married. Secondly, people's ages are going past the age where then it's difficult to find a good suitor for marriage. And then even after they're getting married, there's so much expectations. And, you know, all these kind of crazy kind of expectations that are not being met by either spouse, and the marriages are breaking off. And sometimes in marriages we feel that, oh, our parents did this, or our grandparents did this, so you have to do this. And there's a lot of lack of understanding and lack of maturity, not understanding the day and the age that we live in. So there's these great demands and expectations in marriages which are not being met, and hence marriages are falling apart. And one of the greatest reasons is because day by day behayai is increasing. Day by day immorality is increasing. Day by day the movies, the TVs, all of this. There was a time when the quality of the television wasn't so good. Black and white. And then it got a bit better. And then it was, I don't know, not HD. And it was difficult to find people boasting about, I have a HD. And now it's not just HD, it's 4K. And now not 4K, I don't know, 1440, and then 2000. And it just goes higher, the pixels and all of that. You people will probably know better what I'm talking about. So all of this quality, and people are movies and shows and all of that, it's become so normalized. There was a time when people would think it's a bad thing to talk about these things. I'm watching TV, and they think they'd regard watching television to be a sin, and watching movies to be a sin, and watching shows to be a sin. Because everybody understood then, it was ingrained in them, that for a man to look at a woman, and someone from the opposite gender, is haram. Allah has made haram if they're not your family member, if they're not your mahram. Allah has made it haram for you. You're not allowed to look at their face. And especially if it's someone who you know by looking at their face, you are deriving pleasure from that. It's haram. To the extent that the ulama have mentioned, people may not understand what I'm saying, and I don't have the time to go deep into this. To the extent that they mentioned, if you're looking at the face of a child and you're deriving pleasure just from the way the face looks. I was saying this to my wife, she was saying, what are you talking about? You know, you say this is a very cute baby. So I said, okay, you're saying this baby is cute because its facial appearance is very nice. What about if it was a different baby, had lots of eczema, and had lots of, I don't know, spots or this and that, and had, would you find it to be the same level of cuteness as you find this baby that looks, mashallah, very chubby cheeks and all of that? You wouldn't. Why wouldn't you? Because you are basing the cuteness on the attraction. So ulama have spoken against this. I might be going in a different tangent, in a different direction. So a person is supposed to find a child because a child is innocent. A child has been, you know, is sinless, is masoom. So we are supposed to find that child. Some, you know, we are supposed to have muhabba and love for that child. But not just because of the way it looks. So nowadays people, many times, you know, people say, well, I have no bad intention towards women. I look at their face and I don't have any bad intention towards them. Women are saying that about men. But if you are just enjoying the conversation which is taking place between you and the opposite gender because of the attraction of the face that you're talking to, my dear brother, this is haram. This is haram. And remember, we do not challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men, lower their gazes. Lower their gazes. And not just for the believing men, the believing women. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. Tell the believing women to lower their gazes. Allah ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows that which the eyes, the deceiving eyes. Allah knows the deceiving eyes. And Allah knows the thoughts that you conceal in your hearts. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith, I've written it down. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith, subhanAllah, this hadith is something that there's a lot of ibar, there's a lot of lessons that we can take from this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith narrated by Imam al-Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhi, لِكُلِّ ابْنِ آدَمَ حَظٌ مِنَ الزِّنَا. Every son of Adam, even by accident, many times falls into zina. Every son of Adam, لِكُلِّ ابْنِ آدَمَ. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, someone might say, I've never gone near zina, such a despicable haram action. But look what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. فَالْعَيْنَانِ تَزْنِيَانِ وَزِنَاهُمَ النَّظْرُ. The eyes do zina. And what's the zina of the eyes? By evil gazes, casting evil glances on the opposite gender. وَالْيَدَانِ تَزْنِيَانِ وَزِنَاهُمَ الْبَطْشُ. The hands engross themselves, involve themselves in zina. And what is the zina of the hands? Touching the opposite gender, something which you are not, Allah has not made halal for you to touch. وَالْرِجْلَانِ تَزْنِيَانِ وَزِنَاهُمَ الْمَشْيُ. Even the feet get involved in zina. How? By walking towards something. I'm going to walk there, I'm just going to look at a face. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to walk there, I'm just going to look at a movie, I'm just going to look at this, and I'm going to take attraction, pleasure from that, from the attraction that I see in my heart. I'm not going to do anything. But your feet have just involved themselves in zina. SubhanAllah, I'm not saying this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa saying this. وَالْفَمُ يَزْنِي وَزِنَاهُ الْقُبْلَةُ. Even the mouth does zina, and the zina of the mouth is kissing. وَالْقَلْبُ يَهُمُّ أَوْ يَتَمَنَّى وَيُصَدُّ ذَلِكَ الْفَرْجُ أَوْ يُكَذِّبُهُ. The heart involves itself in zina. How? By hoping and wishing and thinking. And the private part either agrees to the heart or doesn't agree with the heart. Because when a person is at the age of maturity, as soon as these thoughts come in, automatically the mind thinks, what can I do? I have these desires, what can I do? And then he thinks to do something which will bring the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala, or he fights himself and he avoids that. So my dear respected brother and elder, this is one of the greatest things that's ruining the marriages. One of the greatest things. People don't want to say that because people don't think of that. They look at their wife and they just say, oh, she's like this, she's like that, she's like this, she's like that. They don't think of the fact that they are going outside in their workplaces and they are walking down the road and they cannot control their eyes. They cannot control their gaze. Their gaze is going from here to there, from here to there, from here to there. And all of that, the input that is happening there is affecting the relationship at home. My dear respected brethren, this is where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions so many hadith. When the Sahaba said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالطُّرُقَاتِ, that stay away from having gatherings on the streets. And the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, مَلَنَا مِن مَجَالِسِنَا بُدُّنْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالْ. That they said, Ya Rasulullah, we have to have these gatherings to meet each other. You know, as friends sometimes we have to meet each other, talk to each other. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you are going to have these gatherings, then fulfill the rights of the streets. If you're going to go in the street and meet with some friends, if you're going to go out and sit with some people, with your family, with your friends, then fulfill the haq of the streets, the right of the streets. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the right of the streets? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the first haq of being on the streets is ghaddun nazar, lowering your gaze. This is the first right of being on the streets. My dear friends and brothers, those who are taxi drivers, those who are always out and about, we have to learn this, controlling gaze. You know, sometimes controlling your gaze is so difficult. It's so difficult. We look, and we'll feel bad about looking. We know we're getting guna from looking, and then we'll look a few times, and then we'll look away. The ulama say it is a very difficult, bahut karwi dawa, a very difficult medicine to swallow. Just because of the pleasure that a person is receiving from that attraction, they're looking a few times. Some people even say, I'm just admiring the beauty of Allah's creation. MashaAllah. Right? I'm admiring the beauty of Allah's creation. But this pleasure that you're feeling in your heart, you ask yourself, is that a good pleasure you're feeling? Is that pleasure going to lead you to a good thing or to a bad thing? You ask yourself that question. Is that a pleasure that's going to lead you to saying, SubhanAllah, oh Allah, how great, how amazing you are. I'm going to worship you even more. Or is that a pleasure that's going to lead you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Be sensible. You can't say, I find this is, you know, I'm admiring the beauty of Allah's creation by looking at something like this. So looking at something which Allah has made haram for me to look at. Allah ta'ala give us the understanding. This is a topic, inshallah, which I'll try to unpack and discuss in different parts over the course of the next few Jumas before our honorable Mawlana returns, inshallah. Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله المتكفل بحفظ عبده في جميع موارده ومجاريه فهو الذي يطعمه ويسقي ويحفظه من الهلاك ويحميه ويحرسه بالطعام والشراب عما يهلكه ويرديه ويمكنه من القناعة بقليل القوة فيكسر به شهوة النفس التي تعاديه ويدفع شرها ثم يعبد ربه ويتقيه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله النبي ونبيه الوجيه صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الأبرار من عترته وأقربيه والأخيار من صحابته وتابعيه أما بعد فإن أخوف الشهوات شهوة البطن والفرج فالله الله أن تغلو فيهما فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين وقال تعالى إن الذين يأكلون أموال اليتامى ظلما إنما يأكلون في بطونهم نارا وقال تعالى وتأكلون التراث أكلا لما وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما تركت بعدي فتنة أضر على الرجال من النساء وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لعلي يا علي لا تتبع النظرة فإن لك الأولى وليس لك الآخرة وسمع عليه الصلاة والسلام رجلا يتجشأ فقال أقصر من جشائك فإن أطول الناس جوعا يوم القيامة أطولهم شبعا في الدنيا واعلموا أنه كما يذم الإفراط في هاتين الشهوتين حيث يختل به حقوق الله بالإنهماك فيهما كذلك يذم التفريط فيهما بحيث يفوت به حق النفس أو حق الأهل كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام فإن لزوجك عليك حقا ولزورك عليك حقا ولجسدك عليك حقا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والله يريد أن يتوب عليكم ويريد الذين يتبعون الشهوات أن تميلوا ميلا عظيما بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم إن الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فأيها الإخوة الأعزاء، أوصيكم ونفسي أولًا بتقوى الله والمواظبة على ذكر الله، على خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. من أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى، ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وبارك على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان، وأقضاهم علي، وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة، والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة، وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله. اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في كل مكان، اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين في كل مكان، اللهم وفق ولاة المسلمين لما تحب وترضاه. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. Please straighten the rules for salah. Safa durus kar lijiyega. Khali jagahon ko pura farma dijiye. If there's any gaps in front of you, please fill them up. There are brothers waiting outside as well. If there's any gap directly in front of you, please do walk forward and fill that gap up. Space is upstairs at the back if you don't get space. Please ensure your phones are on vibrate or on silent.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله اللهم انت السلام منك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد بعدد كل معلوم لك. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن روعاتنا. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة، فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من غيرك ونور قلوبنا بنور معرفتك أبدا يا الله يا الله يا الله. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى، واجعلنا من عبادك الراشدين. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن، ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل، ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل، ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك، وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وصلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.